Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Bear with me, bear with me, bear with me. Hallelujah. All right. Whew, we good to go. We good to go. We good to go this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give God glory, honor, and praise this morning. But there's none like him. Almost didn't make it in this morning. At 6:53, I woke up. Within 7 minutes, I was in here and got it going. And so we thank God this morning for his faithfulness, because he's an on-time God. And we thank him over and over and over again today for his for his faithfulness unto us. And you know, I tell you, God will fix everything for his people. He'll take care of us. I have some things going on, and God bless me. He yet bless me. And so I thank him for his many blessings this morning. I'm just looking and thanking him, hallelujah, for what he has done for us. Good morning, Evangelist Maven. God bless you this morning. And a good morning to the main man, Brother Louis, Sister Jerry, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Good morning to you. God bless you. The first one, the early risers. Hallelujah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I do understand. I do understand. For me, it's cold here. And I just need to do better. That's all I can say. I need to do better at night. And I'm grateful unto the Lord for blessing me to be a blessing. And I'll get up and get here and get it done this morning. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going in for prayer. And after prayer, we're coming back with another song. And then we're going to take a listen to Renee Agnew, I think her name is. But we're going to listen to her this morning. She's got a wonderful testimony. And she's telling how the Lord brought her out and how parents on drugs treat their children. And, you know, they were lost and she didn't understand. And but nevertheless, when she cried out to God, he heard her cry. She didn't cry out to a certain God. She didn't say Jesus. She didn't say Jehovah. She cried out to him and just cried out to God. She said, the God who, you know, that's real, in other words. And he heard her cry and come in and rescued her. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Hallelujah. To be rescued. I know how she felt. I, too, was rescued by Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, so let's go with Pastor Hinton this morning, and he's praying that prayer of faith for us.
God, we're grateful, because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength and our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence, because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified, in the name of Jesus. For God, in you is life. And that's what we seek, God. Life. Eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, everybody, get your feet heavy. Let's go, come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Jonathan Nelson. And I believe this morning, hallelujah, I believe God. I believe every word he said, because every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him today. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God. We appreciate him. We love him today because it really was him that first loved us. And so we're thankful this morning at to Evangelist Maven and Brother Louis. I was late starting this morning, so I had to rush out and open up a bunch of stuff right quick to promote. And so I'm back in the chat room. And so we thank God today. It's Friday, and God brought us all the way this week. I want to say from last Saturday up until today, and we're grateful unto him. Many things have happened, but he's always there for us. He's on our side today, in spite of us looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. It's Testify Friday today, and you may have invited somebody to come, and, or you may have a testimony, or they may have a testimony this morning, and we want to hear those testimonies because we love to hear the move of God. We love to hear how he has moved for others in their lives because he's moving in ours, and he do things in different ways, so we're grateful this morning unto him. And I thank him today over and over. I can't thank him enough because of all he has done for me. Yeah. Fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, come to see about me when I was sick. Yeah. Came to see about me when I was locked up. So I'm thankful unto him. Made my life better than it has ever been. This is my best life, as they say. I am living my best life in him. Because my life now is hid in him. I'm not trying to save it, because if I try to save it, I'll lose it. But if I lose it in him, he'll save my life. Hallelujah. And he has. And so I'm thankful this morning. You know, so much is going on in the world. I heard Sister Jerry talk yesterday about some stuff happened right here near us in a place called Callahan, Florida, which is right up the street from Jacksonville. And the man went in and he shot his family up and killed them. And he was thinking after he killed them, he would kill himself. But when it came time for him to kill himself, he didn't have the nerve to do it. And yet all his family gone. My goodness. And you did it. My goodness. So many things happening. They finding out why. One person a few years back killed a bunch of people at a concert. He was saying it was always in his mind how it would feel to be a serial killer. Now, you know, the devil is the prince of the air. And at one time, God asked him what he was doing. He said he was going to and fro. And he was seeking whom he may devour. So a lot of times we think we're thinking these thoughts, but the enemy has come in, the devil has come in and given us thoughts and ideas. And when you react to what he said, it will never come out good. It will always come out the worst of the worst, come out evil. And we don't sit around and think negative. That's not the believer's way, because we have a God to serve, a God to glorify. We have a God to work unto. We have a God to tell about all our problems. So if we sit around, as they say, with an idle mind, and someone told me the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So he began to work on you. He began to plant seeds of evil, seeds of negativity in your mind. And when you know anything, you reacted to what you thought you was thinking. But what it is what he planted in your mind to do. And again, when we do these things, it don't bring good results. Because at all times, we must remember the devil come but to steal, kill, and destroy. It's his only reason for coming. It's Jesus who came, John 10:10. Jesus come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. And so we have to look to the hills from which cometh our help. We look to God because all our help comes from him. He made the heavens and the earth. And so if we're going to walk with him, stay with him, be for him, then we have to keep our mind on him. And it's him that will keep us in perfect peace. It's him that will keep us in a place of positive, a place of blessings, a place where we want to be a blessing. And no matter what we're going through, we know God. So we put what we're going through on the altar, and we look for others who we can be a blessing unto. Thank you, Brother Louis. Yeah, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And he said might, because he knew many believers would focus on, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't do this, and I can't do that. They don't love me. I don't have nothing. That's where our focus will be. That's why he said might. But if we'll remember to keep our mind on him, if we'll remember there's a God that sit high and look low, there's a God whose eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good this morning. Hallelujah. He see everything. He sleeps, not slumber. He know your very intent that's in your heart. He know about it. And today, if we'll reach out to him, shake the devil off and reach out to him. We resist the devil, he flee. He's coming back, but you got to resist him again. Make your petitions known unto Almighty God. Let God know what you want. Lord, I want a positive mind because you gave me power. You gave me love, and it's you that gave me a sound mind. And I got to come out of my flesh and walk in your spirit. You gave me your spirit, Lord, and I want to walk in your spirit. Because when we walk in the spirit of God, we see life so much different. Life is just better when we walk in the spirit. Because now the spirit of the Lord will begin to speak to us and tell us, listen, you got this, you got that, you have this, you have that. Yeah, you have that, you have this. Yeah, because many days we don't have money. And we know that money answers all things. But when we don't have money, we go to him about our situation. And if it be his will, he'll give money. If not, he works it out another way. Yeah, I thought he was coming from the left, he came from the right. I thought he was coming from the top, he come up from the bottom. But he fixed what I needed to have fixed. And I could walk away praising him. And even in negative thoughts, I can go back after he bring me out and begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you for the good and the bad. I thank you for the ugly. Hallelujah. Somebody's not here to know about it. But you bless me to be here. I'm thankful unto you today. And once we get in the habit of that, we practice praising God through everything, for everything. Once we get in the habit of doing that, it becomes a part of us. Every time you turn around, the least little thing, you're telling him thank you. Because you realize without him, you can do nothing. And we just got to come out the flesh, come out of your flesh. There's no good thing in it. It's a deceiver. Yeah, that flesh will destroy you. See, because we come from a sinful nature, and sin did my mother conceive me. Yeah. But when we lift our eyes to the hills, when we remember God today, and remember not only does he hear prayers, but he also answers. Tell him about what you need. You don't have to be in a special place. Yeah. Your prayer closet could be sitting looking at TV. Your prayer closet could be while you're doing dishes, while you're cooking, while you're walking, while you're going to the store. Whatever you're doing, it can become your prayer closet. The scripture teaches us to pray without ceasing. It teaches us man should always pray and not faint. Not that man should always worry, Not that always man should be over-concerned, but that man should always pray, always talk to God. Because many times it looked like he don't hear because he said nothing back. You don't see anything, but like things getting worse. But man should always pray, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. And it's already all right this morning in the name of Jesus. And we're grateful unto him. We appreciate him today. We love him. How many love him? Again, it was him that first loved us. How many remember without him, we can do nothing. That's why we don't sit around idle. We don't sit around with negativity on our mind. We don't sit around wondering, why me, Lord? Why not, Lord? No, 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 don't do that. The enemy will come in and give you a false answer. The enemy will come in depression. He'll come in and knock you down because he'll come in and tell you that this happened because you're no good. This happened because of what you've done. This happened because there is no God. This happened because your family hates you. Oh, he'll come in and tell you all kind of lies. He's the father of all lies. He planted the first seed of lying. And today, whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? If you can believe the report of the Lord, his report says this, you're healed, you're filled, you have the victory. You're filled with his spirit. He healed you. Mentally, spiritually, and physically, he healed you. You have the victory because all things must work together for your good. He know you love him and he called you to something according to his purpose. So we have to battle. He said, put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to put the word of God on. You got to put your faith into action. You got to learn to trust him. And that way, when the enemy come, you talk back. Oh, no, sir, not today and no other day. God is on my side. He's for me, and he's more than the whole world against me. I cast my cares upon him, for he careth for me. Who report are you going to believe? Because his report said that you're the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I don't care what you've done, when you did it, how long ago you did it, or how recently you did it. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Even what you've done in your past, it's no good no more. It's a memory. And if you'll go to God, he'll wipe that out. Yeah. He said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Oh, there's an endless list of his promises teaching us that we're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. He loves us so, yeah, but we got to work to do it because the enemy, that devil is not just going to let you have peace. The devil is not going to say, oh, today is Friday, December the 3rd. What I'm going to do, I'm going to let Barbara just study my word, study the word of God in peace. No, sir, he fights with everything he got to keep me from getting in that word. He'll even send so many people in dire straits to keep me out of the word, to keep me so busy. I'm helping this and I'm doing that and I'm helping over here and I'm reaching out over there. Yeah, because he don't want you in the word of God, because how many know the word is sharper than any two-edged sword? And the word is true, and you put that word to him, he got to flee. He got to run. He got to go. Number one, he'll hate the truth. He don't like the truth. Now, many times he'll tell us the truth because he's banking on us not believing. Yeah, that's why he tell you the truth, because he's oh so sure you won't believe the truth. You'd rather believe a lie than the truth. That's what he's banking on because he sees so much of it. And those who say they're believers, they're Christian, they're the people of God, they're the saints of God. Yeah. So this is how he comes. Hallelujah. We thank God for his word this morning again and again and again because his word holds true and we walk in according to his word. And in the word, it says this: stand. And after standing, stand some more. Because we're standing on the sure foundation, the solid foundation. Listen, the word teach us to wait on the Lord and be of a good cheer, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yeah, wait on the Lord. Be of a good courage. Yeah. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, because if we wait on him, he's coming to fix it all. And we just standing waiting on his word. And after standing on his word, we're going to stand some more until the word do what God set out for it to do. He's done so much for us and we know it. Why wouldn't this one thing come up? We can't get over this. And something else come up, we pay more attention to it than we pay attention to. Wait on the Lord, be of a good courage. It's him that's going to strengthen our heart. We just got to wait on it. Patience is a big thing in this walk with God. Ooh, it's a big thing because we got to have a lot of it. He has a lot of patience, and we must have a lot of patience too, because he don't move as quick as we always want him to. But how many heard he's always on time? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before this God. The heavens and the earth adore him. What a mighty God. Why? Because he's a good God. He's faithful. He's for us. Again, take care upon him, for he careth for you. But we got to remember this. We must remember this. And we can't just know the word and just talk the word, but we got to live this thing. James said, don't just be a hearer or even just know it, but be a doer. Do what the word of God says to. Because it takes more than just talking about God and feeling, and it takes a lot more than that. We got to live that which we know of God. If we've been in his word and we know what his word says, we got to walk according. And if we don't know, we got to pray for wisdom and ask God to keep us. And Lord, keep me in your word. David said his word that he hid in his heart. He hid the word of God in his heart that he might not sin against God. Might not. Because there's been so many who have sinned against him because they didn't remember what his word said. They didn't remember they were the head and not the tail. They didn't remember they can do all things through Christ who strengthened them. They didn't remember the report of the Lord that they are healed, filled, and that they have the victory. They didn't remember. They didn't remember to keep their mind on him so he could keep them in perfect peace. But David said, the word of God he hid in his own heart that he might not sin against God. And we're thankful for the truth. Many things we know that David said because of the things that David was going through. How would you like for somebody to be chasing after you to murder you and you know they got the power to do it? David was running and hiding and trusting God and speaking the word of God, and God brought him out. Yeah, because I think as long as Saul lived, Saul had the mind to kill David. When he went over and David would play the harp, he would calm down. That evil spirit would leave him. But now after the spirit of peace leave David, leave Saul, that evil spirit would come back in. If you read the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, you're going to find out that Saul threw daggers at David, and he meant to kill him. And had he killed David, he would have easily got away with it. He was king. Yeah, who come in the fool with the king and said, oh, the king done killed illegal, let's lock him up. No. He was the one who said yay or nay. Mm-hmm. So David had to remember God. He went to the priest running for his life. And asked the priest, hey, what kind of food you got? He said, we don't have nothing but the showbread. to give me that to eat. But David was hungry. Then he asked him, what kind of weapons you got? He said, we only have the sword that you killed Goliath with. He said, give me the sword. And everybody who was running from the law, let's say, they connected up with David. 600 people or more connected to David. Because number one, David was a warrior. He would fight. He believed in that sword. Couldn't build the house of the Lord because his hands was too bloody. God said his hands was too bloody. You can't be in my house. Your hands bloody, David. You done killed so many people. But he allowed David's son, Solomon, to build the house. And look what David did. David found out his problem. He had sin dwelling therein. He went to God to get the sin out. He took over Uriah's wife and killed Uriah. Had a son by Uriah's wife. And the baby died. God sent Nathan the prophet to let David know what he had done wrong. And when Nathan told him, hey, it was this man, he had this one little lamb. That's all he had. And the king had plenty. The king had more than he knew what to do with. But he saw that this man had this one little lamb. And he took the lamb and killed the man. David said, well, who is he? He deserved to die. Bring him to me. And Nathan the prophet had to tell him, David, it was you. Yeah. God told me to tell you, it was you. And David repented. And after he repented, he got that thing right. And he was for God. Yeah, he brought his flesh under subjection. He made his flesh behave so that he could live right before the Lord. Yeah, and God blessed him. Blessed him with a son, Solomon, the wisest man I believe there will ever be. Mm-hmm. Queens and kings come to sin because they just couldn't believe a human being would be that smart and be able to bless nations and people and all kind of stuff. But Solomon was the wisest man when God asked Solomon because of his obedience. What more can I do for you, Solomon? Solomon let him know, I just want more of you. And now Solomon become the richest man. The Queen of Sheba went down to see him. She couldn't believe it. And then he got himself into trouble like he did his dad. He just couldn't stay away from exotic women and all kind of women. He just couldn't let the girls go. Solomon loved the ladies. Yeah. And he over there fooling with all kind of women. Women who didn't believe and knew God the way that he did. He dealt with them kind, all kind. Had concubines and wives. My goodness, Solomon. You couldn't please one woman. I don't know how you thought you could please 1,100. 1,100 women, maybe more. How can one man please 1,100 women? No way. Yeah, and he got himself in trouble. But God is yet faithful to us today. He'll give us the desires of our heart if we'll seek him. If we'll seek him, Lord, I want more of you. See, because what man forget is the more God you get, the more blessings you're going to have, the more blessed you are if you seek more of God and less of your flesh and less of the world. Yeah, let God be the top priority of everything. He will bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Oh, he will bless you. Heart desire after heart desire will come. Yeah. It'll keep coming. They'll keep coming. You'll sleep in peace at night. You'll walk around daily in perfect peace because you're keeping your mind on him. You want more of him. Yeah, you don't want another car. You don't want another house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy and Fluff Fluff. That's not what you want. You want to understand the word of God more. Yeah, you want to live it just the way he wants you to apply it to your everyday life. You don't want it on just Sunday. You don't want it on when you hear somebody talk about God. But you woke up wanting more of God today. You woke up wanting to do more of his will than your own will. Hallelujah. He will bless us. I have things that I had no clue I would ever get. I had a new car way back in the day, but I never knew I'd be able to get another when God opened that door. Obedience caused it. Walking according to him and doing what he said to do caused me to be blessed, caused my heart desire to come forth. Yeah. And he does things in a way that we can have plenty. And we are able to share with others. We are able to give to others. Oh, God is faithful. Yes, he is. And he's good. He's a good father. Yeah. I know some have daddies, but he's a good father to me. Hallelujah. Oh, I was sinking deep in sin. Oh, you don't have no clue. Far from the peace, for sure. Wasn't no peace. Wasn't no joy, no happiness. Very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. My lips wasn't moving. My heart was crying. And from the waters, it was him that lifted me. Today, I can say, safe am I. Love lifted me. But God is love. He saw my condition. He saw my situation. And he come and he rescued me. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful, forever grateful unto him. And some people would say to me, well, how you can stay with God like that all day, all the time, because of what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what Almighty God has done for me. You couldn't imagine where I was and what he come in and he did for me. Changed my entire life. Made it much better. Again, I'm living my best life. I never lived a good life like this before. See, because before it was about stuff and things. It was about money. It was about materialistic stuff. It was about me with the American dream and me showing others, you know, how I can do it. But when he come in, none of that foolishness, because that's what it was, y'all. It was nonsense and foolishness, because it all was going to pass away one day. It was all gone, and it did. Ah, hey, glory to his majesty. All that passed away. And behold, he made me new. And the new Barbara, she no longer desired materialistic foolishness. Yeah, she no longer desired the things of the world. House on a hill. A dog named Fluffy. I don't even want a dog. I don't even want a big house. Because who cleaning all of that? Who taking care of all of that? Who going to paint it? A chauffeur. I don't need a chauffeur, God bless him, with a truck, a good right foot, two good hands, and I can drive myself. Yeah. I need a housekeeper from time to time because I need somebody to come in and help me clean. Because it need a cleaning. Yeah, I need my house clean. I like that kind of carrying on. But all that other stuff, I don't need it. And I don't need no butler going to the door to answer the door for me. I'm able-bodied. I can answer my own door. Yeah. So I'm thankful this morning unto Almighty God for all he has done for me. When I tell you great and mighty things, and people look at my life and say, what great and mighty things? Gee, she don't have nothing. What she got that's so good? I got more than she got. No, you don't. You may have more money. You may have more materialistic stuff, but you just don't have more God than I got. Hallelujah. I can't stand for you to think that you would have more and do more for him than I will. I got to do more. If I see you doing, I got to do more. Hallelujah. He's worthy today to give him my all, to give him my best of my best. that he is worthy this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you know, I pray and asking God to continue to help me to get the weight off, because I don't want nobody to outdance me before him. Oh, no, 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 no. He's been too good to me. And when you know what he has done for you and you didn't do it for yourself, you know it was God. You can't stop praising him. You can't stop talking about him. You refuse to give him up. You can't. You just can't let him go. I know he's omnipresent. He's with you, me, and everywhere else, but I want him for myself. And so I have to make sure I got him. Hallelujah, daily. And I thank God for the way he is and the way he made me. I can't speak for others. I have to speak for me this morning. Yeah, I got to testify unto him. I thank him that he showed me, Barbara, it's not what go in you that defile you, but it's what come out of you. If you're doing that dirty cussing, that's in your heart. Yeah, it's in your heart. And Brother Anthony, when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt he did it for you, you know he saved you. Anthony, you know he sanctified you. You know he filled you with his spirit. Because when you look back at where you was and you see where you're at now, you know nobody but him did it for you. You couldn't do it for yourself. Hallelujah. And you can't thank him enough. People call you a Bible thumper, a Bible beater. And they looking for you to be a certain way because of what they're going through. And they haven't did what they needed to do to get to where you are. So when they come, they looking for you to be fasting and praying and doing all of this, walking and rubbing oil all on your walls. No, no, no. I don't have to do that. I never left him. I've been with him the whole time. It's him that lead and guide me. So I'm in a place now, I just called on him. I don't have to haggle and groggle and beg. I don't have to get loud. I don't have to do all of that. All I have to do is ask. All I have to do is seek him. All I have to do is knock on his door. And he opened the door and come in. Yeah. What you say, Anthony? What you say? We're grateful this morning unto him. Almighty God who has done it all for us. See, some people still see themselves as not being changed. They don't have the faith. They don't believe. So they still going through the crazy stuff. But when you done found him for yourself, Anthony, and you know who he is to you, and you know what he has done, see the way you come, Anthony, let me tell you about this. Every morning you come, you got to testify. I know some people say he come with that every month. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, because you don't know where God brought him from. You don't know what God has done in his life. His son's still living. His grandmother, his mother. There have been situations where he should have been dead and gone, but God yet kept him alive. That he can use him today to bless others. He's a working man. He get things done. There was a time when he didn't have a job. There was a time when he went over and did a little bit at some restaurant that wasn't paying him very much. And he's a man. Oh, but he stayed with God and look what God did for him. He made him a truck driver where he can get paid. I'm not saying he's rich, but he's getting the pay of a man now. He's doing the work of a man. And he know it wasn't Anthony. But he knew it was Almighty God. As he stayed with God, God brought him. As he obeyed God, what the preacher said, what his pastor said, God brought him. God even brought him and made him a part of Jesus in the Morning. I was doing Blog TV. And here come Anthony. When I come back over to Blog Talk Radio, because Blog TV ended, Anthony said, oh, no, she can go anywhere she wants. I'm going over there where she's at. And I'm going to stay with those teachings. And I'm going to get me a little bit more from over here where God leads me. They teaching the truth over there. God going to lead me over there. I'm going to get a little bit from over there. And I'm growing. And you see your own growth. You'll see your own growth. But when you're trying to hold on to your flesh, you're not going to make it all the way. I just got to tell you. You're not going to make it all the way because you got to let go and let God have his way in your life. You got to stop thinking you can do it and trust God. If he so loved you, he sent his only begotten son to suffer for you and die for you. You can trust him with anything. But what men are afraid of, they're not going to get what they want in the way that they want it. So they try to step out in their flesh and do it on their own, but it won't work. It will get worse before it gets better. And then sometimes we lie to ourselves, to my God, I'm doing this because, see, God said, let me tell you something. You better get somewhere and turn it over to Jesus, and you stop worrying about it. Go ahead. Turn it over to the Lord. He'll work it out. Oh, yeah, Jesus. He'll work it out if you let him. But you got to back up and let him. Yeah. We still trying to work something in there because we want what we want, and we kind of lying on God because we talking about what God going to do. No, that's you. That's you trying to get it done because God is not going to even do it in the way that you think. He's coming a whole nother way, and we standing around trying to help God. You can't help him. You don't need your help. You don't even know how to wake yourself up in the morning. Who are you helping? It's him that wakes you up. You ain't got nothing to do but trust God. Talking about I'm doing this and I'm doing, no, you don't need to do nothing but get back out of God's way. Back up all the way and come on up out of his way and watch him move for you. I'm so glad I learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. He's my friend and he's my guy. I found out if I trust him, he will provide. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And I am thankful unto him this morning. Listen. We're going to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, we're coming back with Rima. And today she's going to share her testimony. Hallelujah. And what a testimony, my goodness. Parents can be, oh, something serious, too serious, my goodness, and let the devil use them against their own children. It's a sad thing. But let's take a listen to this one, and when we come back, we're coming back with Rima. Hallelujah.
Dr. Blonde, Twinkie and I were in Little Rock, Arkansas with Bishop L.T. Walker. Early one morning I got a call. I was in Atlanta preaching for Reverend Jasper Williams, and Gloria called me. She said, sit down. I said, I'm going to preach right now. I'm on my way out the door. She said, sit down. I sat down, and my wife told me, we were living in New Orleans at the time, four of our members had been killed in a wreck. I got angry with the Lord because I thought they were my best members. I had some others I thought he should have took. Y'all don't like the truth. These were some good members, Brother Sheard. I mean, solid people. I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm just talking about sweet, solid people. No hell-raising saints. And I couldn't understand, why would you take those four people at once? I put three people in one grave. I was upset with the Lord because I said, you took my members. And he said, clean, they're not yours, they're mine. I said, well, why did you take them? He said, I took them because they were ready. And I'm giving those others a chance to get right. So I called Twinkie, her and Dr. Clark were over at Bishop Walker's house. I said, Twinkie, I wrote these words. See what you can do with this. Accept.
Accept.
What God allows.
What God allows.
You're better off anyway.
You're better off anyway.
Face the facts.
Face.
never stray.
And you will never stray.
Turn your paper loose. He will bring you out.
He'll bring you out.
And give you.
And give you all. All the truth.
All the truth. So don't question God.
So
what God allows,
even you, when you don't understand it, it's working for your good.
Accept every trial.
Accept every trial.
Accept it even now.
Accept it even now.
Hallelujah.
He'll give you a smile. we'll be right back.
blessed. Richard White, Mr. Clean himself, as boy, I love that song right there. Accept what God allows. We are better off anyway. Accept it through every trial, because see, our trials come to make us strong. Accept it even now, she said. He'll give you a smile. You got to put these things in God's hands, because he's got the master plan. Your trial is but a stepping stone. Oh, God gonna lead you to your heavenly home. And that's what we're trying to make it. We're trying to go back with him when he comes. We're trying to prepare daily to be ready for when he comes. Hallelujah. I feel all right right there this morning. Listen, we're going with Rima and take a listen to her testimony this morning. And I thank God for bringing this young woman out. Yeah, I thank him for bringing this child out. Hallelujah. All right, let's take a listen.
My name is Rima Angelique, and this is my story. When I was young, I didn't know what normal was. You know, my parents, they divorced when I was in fourth grade, but my mom would always come to me and confide in me and let me know, like, she's going to leave my dad. There were many times when she would call my name and just remember her voice yelling out my name, calling to me to rescue her when my dad would be on top of her, holding her down naked, and she would just call for me, and I felt helpless, like there wasn't much I could do. And when she finally left my dad, after talking about it for so long, she came and picked me up from school with only a suitcase, and she picked up me and my brother, and we were off. We went to live at a battered women's shelter. At that shelter, life was completely different than what I knew. You know, I never knew normal, but I never knew something like that. We got a babysitter that lived across the hall from us, and she was a mom of two boys that were the same age as me, and she would take us out into a field downtown where I lived, and she would go do drugs and tell us to go play as she did drugs with her daughter. And I remember we'd go out there and throw around broken bottles and just have a good time, and she would be there. My mom found out, and she wasn't okay with that. That was the first time I was ever exposed to drugs, and, you know, they were there because their dad ran them over with a car, or tried to run them over with a car, and it was like, I'd seen these different aspects of life that I never really saw before. You know, I didn't know normal, but I also wasn't involved in things like that. And so I remember feeling fortunate. We got a new babysitter after that. She moved in. She was actually our roommate, because at that place we would get roommates. And she ended up being not healthy. She was 16 years old, and she would try to play games in the dark with me and my brother, where she would try to get my brother or me to touch her in the dark. And she put up our beds next to each other, me and hers. And I remember my mom did protect me. She found out about that, and she made clear boundaries with that girl. But that was the first time I actually started to be around that kind of thing. I wasn't really sure what that meant or what that was, but we soon moved out, and as time went on, things moved fast after that. My mom and dad did not get back together, but I saw my dad a few times. He would come around, and I remember when I was in like fifth grade around, he sat me down in a swimming pool, and he described to me some things about my mom. And at the time, I didn't understand what it meant, but he told me what an abortion was, and he let me know that that's what my mom has done before, and he let me know things about her, and just things that I, as a young child, didn't understand and didn't need to understand, and in a way, trying to make me hate her. And he tried to get back with my mom, and she didn't want him, and my mom quickly went into other relationships, and she got a boyfriend, and they were short-lived, and then she started talking to this guy on the phone, and this guy's name was White Trash, and she would giggle and laugh with him on the phone all day long, and she told me he was a friend, but I knew there was something more going on with that. I knew the way she was with him. I just knew, and I remember, I guess I was kind of troubled at this time, and I didn't realize it, but looking back, I was, and I drew a picture of a woman flicking off the camera, and I gave it to my mom, and I said, "Give this to White Trash," and she gave it to him, and he said to her, "I know she's not going to like me." Fast forward maybe a few weeks later, and I'm the only fifth grader that makes it into the middle school spelling bee. And I was going to a really nice school, really nice area. We were living in a really nice house because my mom had a really well-paying, respectable job. And so I actually won the spelling bee, but that's beside the point. The night before the spelling bee, I was studying for it. And we get a knock at the door, and it's a man with a scruffy beard and a beanie, and my mom says to us, "This is the shower repairman. He's going to just fix the shower." So they go into her room, and they close the door, and that's that. I don't think too much of it because I'm invested in spelling bee studying. Well, a few days go by, and White Trash is going to come over for the first time. My mom starts to cook dinner, which was weird because she's not wasn't much of a cook. He knocks on the door, and it's a man with a wife beater and big sweatpants and tennis shoes and scruffy beard, and I'm like, he looks familiar. Yeah. Well, he happens to be the shower repairman. The shower wasn't really broken. And I remember just knowing that he was going to move into our lives fast because he slept on the couch that night. And he introduced us to his daughters. One of his daughters moved in, and the other few, the other two lived with their mom. And then he had a son in West Virginia. And things went fast. He moved in within a few days. He took dominance. He let us know he was a felon. He doesn't play around. He made strict rules already. And one of the first acts of dominance was he walked in, because my mom gave him keys right away while my babysitter was there. And he started yelling and cussing and acting a fool and saying that she treated us wrong and he was there for us and he was going to essentially save us from this evil, crazy babysitter. And so my mom quickly fired her because it was his orders. And he showed us about himself. He told us some stories and he took off his shirt and he showed me his tattoos. He had a big tattoo on his stomach that said white trash, and it was a big trailer and a burning barrel and a big dragonfly tattoo and a statement that says property of God Almighty on his chest and just a demon on his arm and just some very intense imagery of who he is and what he believes. And one of the first things he did was he said, "Rima, you want to watch me fight?" And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And he said, "Yeah, old boy over here was treating your mama wrong. He flicked her off. That means he wants to get with her." And so he took us all. He rounded us all up in the car, his daughter that moved in with us, me, my brother, and my mom. And he went to let us watch the fight. He walked up to this guy, and he went up to some drug house. We had to drive like 40 minutes to get there because it was from his side of town, which was happened to be far from this nice area we're living in. And he walks up to the guy. He just slaps him in the face without him even noticing. They start rolling around. His daughter's beside me in the car, and she's like, "Daddy, Daddy!" And she's screaming and crying, and they're fighting. And when the fight is over, my stepdad runs, or he's white trash at this time. He's not my stepdad yet. He runs over to the guy's car, and he puts his hand in his face and points at him. The guy takes out a knife and slices his tendons, like all of his tendons except for one. So his hand is literally hanging on by a thread, literally, and he runs to the car. He's like, his blood is just flowing out of him, and he gets into the car, and he says, "We have to go to the hospital," and my mom took him to the hospital. We were there. He almost literally lost his hand because of that. And around this time, things start picking up, and my stepdad is telling us our number one rule, and he's learned this from prison, is no snitching. So if we are found to be a snitch, we will get worse punishment than the person we're snitching on. So I think it was either me or his daughter that had snitched on my brother because he left a door open to the outside. And so we all had to stay in the corner, only except the people that snitched stayed in the corner longer. So that was his first act of dominance. That was one of his first, like, really big acts of dominance. We're only a few weeks into knowing this guy, and he's already taking over. And so things progressively pick up, and he tells my mom that we need to move to his side of town. And so that's what we did. We moved to his side of town. And at this time, I'm still in touch with my dad, very on and off, but very still in touch. And he calls me out. So we had a big porch, and he would have night talks on there, and he would talk to us about all things like prison, and, you know, he would talk about God. I had never been to church, so I didn't really know anything about God, but he kind of just brought it up to me. I'm like, not really sure, but he tells me about his own, you know, God, and then my mom lets me know, like, he's actually a mind reader and all these things that I've never heard of before, but apparently my stepdad was, or apparently White Trash was a mind reader. And so don't ever think of anything bad around him because he'll know. And I remember my dad came around and my stepdad called me out of the house. And he said to me, "Rima, we have something to tell you." And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I just want to let you know what happened. And he said, "When your parents, your mom and dad got divorced, your dad gave your mom the paperwork, and he said, no matter what happens, you're the one with the raw end of the deal because you're the one that stuck with the efforts. And I remember that feeling of the first time feeling unwanted and like I wasn't good enough. So he let me know, like, he could be my dad now, and that no worries about that because he's my father now. There's nothing to worry about. He's got me. And I just remember that feeling in the pit of my chest of, like, emptiness. Like, just that you can't breathe, that chest tightness. And my dad came around a few times. He picked up my brother to do some things. And I just remember he didn't take me. He just took my brother. And I remember that feeling of looking out the window and as my dad's eyes meet mine and he just drives away. And I think that right there is something that I still remember. There's a lot of things from my childhood that I do not remember. That's something that I will always remember, is that feeling. So my stepdad told us that we need to call our dad and let him know he's no longer our dad. And so he made my brother call my dad. White Trash is on the other end of the phone, and he's whispering in my brother's ear, telling him what to say to my dad. He says, "You're no longer our dad. We have a dad now. It's done." And my dad says, "Okay." And my dad leaves, and he doesn't come back. That's all it took. And, it's just a lot of confusion. It was a lot of, what's going on? Life was weird back then. Life wasn't normal growing up. It was nothing like this. And so he makes very strict, strict rules. If we do not conform, we're in trouble. He told us there were security cameras all over the house. He said he kept them in the bathrooms, in the basement, in all areas, and he said that he would have a close watch on everything that we would do. He would check the crumbs on the counter to see if we had done our chores. I remember he would take sunflower seeds, and he would plant them in hidden areas around the kitchen to make sure that we were cleaning everything spotlessly. If we didn't do every little thing the way he said to do it, he would wake us up screaming, in our face, spitting in our face. Like, I remember I got to a point where he thought my brother was being disobedient to him, because he felt like my brother wasn't bowing down to him the way he should have. And so he would make my brother run about 3 miles a day, and he would say, and he would whoop him with a switch. He would go get a switch off the tree, and he even would threaten him with the switches with thorns on them. And he would take him in the room. If he didn't do what he was supposed to do, if he didn't finish his laps in time, because we had to sit out there and time him every lap, and if it wasn't done in a certain amount of time, he would take the switch, he would take him to the room, and he would brutally abuse him. Mm. And as an older sister, like, those moments, because I was 2 years older than him, it's like those moments of feeling helpless because I love him and he's all I had, and I just hear the screams. And around this time, I'm kind of wondering, what is the point of life? You know, I'm getting older. It gets to a point in my house where my stepdad tells my mom, you know, it's either me or your son. And my mom chose him, my stepdad, because by this time they got married. And he makes my brother, at the age of 10, move out into the shed. Before that, he says, if you want to be a real man, you're going to tough it out like a real man. And he bought boxing gloves, and he would go out in the yard and made my brother, he beat my brother up. And he would also bring in teenage boys to live with us that would bang my brother's head into the concrete of the floor and hump his face, and my stepdad taught him how to masturbate, and sexually, he would definitely sexually abuse him, but he would bring in boys that would do that to them, to him. And they would teach us about sex, and they would teach us, and my stepdad showed me porn, and he would let us, he would tell us about all the things he does with my mom in the bedroom, and they would go into the bedroom, and we'd hear it, and he would purposely, like, he would come out of the room, and they would show us their sex toys, and all these just disgusting things, and he would lock my brother out of the house. And he would make us eat food in the window, and I remember sneaking my brother out some water and chips, and he, my stepdad very specifically said, if you guys let him inside, you're going to be in huge trouble. My mom gets home and can't believe he's still outside because he went, my stepdad was on heroin and all these other drugs, and he went to sleep all day after that. And so by the time my mom got home, my mom found out, and she was upset about that. And I got screamed at and whooped, and because I didn't let my brother inside, but I was told that if I let him in, I would be in so much trouble. My stepdad said he never said that. And they made me write an apology letter to my brother. like it was my fault. And they made him move out into the shed when he was 10, and they gave him $60, and they said, if you need anything, you go get it. And he had to walk across the highway, the busy highway, to go get a Wendy's burger for dinner. And I remember around this time, like, a lot more happened, a lot of just things like that, but I can't get into all of it because we'd be here all night. But around this time, I'm wondering what the point of life is, because I don't know what the point of life is, and my stepdad's told me about God, and he said he's the anointed one, and the Bible says that he's allowed to abuse us, and that spare the rod, spoil the child, and he doesn't want to have to do this, but, you know, he has to, but he's sorry that he has to do this, but, you know, it's just something he has to do. And I remember I started to cut myself, and I would get a knife. I loved M&M back then, and at this house, there was a field beside my house, and I'm going to show you guys what the house looked like here in the field.
She's scrolling to show the house on the video.
And I sat on a tree stump in that field. And I remember feeling so depressed and suicidal at this time. And I remember I would cut myself to feel better. I was really the class clown in school, so I would be there making everybody laugh by day. And then when I would get home, I felt so empty and depressed, and like there was no point in my life. And I remember wondering, what is the unforgivable sin? Because if it's not suicide, then I want to end my life. So I'm sitting out in the field one day, and I'm just talking. I just like start praying, and I'm like, God, I don't know if you're even there or you're listening. I don't know who you are, but I do know that I feel depressed. I feel alone, and I feel so broken, and I'm starting to feel this feeling that I've never felt before, and I feel empty, and I just want to know, like, that you're listening to me. And it starts pouring rain. That second that I asked it, are you listening, it just starts pouring rain, and it was a cloudless day. And I remember that feeling of, like, I might make it out of this. Like, And as time went on, I still started to try to devise a plan to kill myself because I had that experience, but I still was so lost. And I went into the bathroom, and I remember just opening up the Bible and asking, what is the unforgivable sin? I remember getting no answers, and I actually fell asleep on the bathroom floor. And I just remember there was many, a few times I just fell asleep there. And that's the only place I could feel alone and, like, safe. And as I told you earlier, my mom had a well-respected job. She got paid a good amount of money. She wasn't the type of woman to do drugs. And around this time, she started doing drugs. And I remember the first time I saw her high, she started saying she didn't know who she was. She was like, who are you? Who am I? Are you an alien? I'm an alien. And I remember just being so scared. Like, I've never felt that before. Like, my own mom started slipping away from grasp. It was like, she was there physically. Mentally, she was, there was evil behind her eyes. There was emptiness and evil behind her eyes. It was like, she had a pulse, but that was it. And I remember I confided in her, and I went to her, and I said, Mom, I think I want to end my life. And she looks back at me, she looks up, and she says, you know, that's all for attention. You don't actually want to, you don't actually feel that way. Get out of here with that. And I remember, she said to me, you have it way better than most. Look at you. You have a roof over your head. A lot of kids don't. You have food. You get whatever you need. You're fine. And I thought, well, maybe I do. Maybe I do have it better than most. Is this how everyone lives? Is life just this bad? And so I just thought, maybe life is just like this. Well, that makes me, then there's no hope. If this is what life is like, then there's no hope that it will get better. And so that just made me even want to just end my life even more. And during this time, I started to get demonic attacks at night, and I would be laying in bed, and I would feel something on top of me, and stroking over my body, clawing on my body over my covers, and it would when I would sit up, it would take my neck and grab me down and put me down, and my stepsister woke up because we shared a room. And she said that she saw a little girl with long black hair sitting on my bed in the middle of the night around the same time that the stuff started. And whenever I finally was able to get up, it just kept happening. It started to keep happening, and I tried to find methods of ways to fix this, and I went to this metaphysical New Age shop where they gave me crystals and rocks and said that these will protect me, keep them under my pillow, and I will be protected and safe, and to imagine this force field. So I'm like 15 years old, and I'm being introduced to the New Age, and they're like, this is how you can keep yourself from demons and evil spirits, and you just want like spirits that are of the light, so make sure that, like, you're calling on spirits of the light. And so this led down this path of this. And when I was younger, and when I went to the doctor, I had said, you know, things are happening. My mom told the doctor what was happening, because I did hear voices, like, I would hear things at night that would be in my ear and whisper to me and growl in my ear. They were speaking a different language. It sounded like a sort of tongues language or Latin. I can't I can't remember what it was. But the doctor said I don't have symptoms at all of some type of mental health issue as far as anything other than he thought I was just sensitive to the spiritual realm, which it was weird because I'm sure most doctors would have been like, what? But this doctor actually knew who I was and had been seeing me for a long time and just knew that it couldn't be the case. And also, like, he knew that the symptoms did not align. And so I started getting into the New Age, and I remember I would call upon my spirit guides to save me and to help me. And one particular night, I actually was on my phone texting someone, and was texting a girl, and I was in bed, and I'm texting, and so nobody can say sleep paralysis on this one, because I am actively talking to somebody on my phone. And something gets on top of me in bed as I'm texting, and I start texting random letters, my vision goes blank, and I start screaming out, trying to call on to God, whoever God is. My stepdad told me, never call for any name other than God Almighty. Don't ever use the name of Jesus. That's not what we say in this house. You don't use that name. People that use that name are going to hell. It clearly says in the Bible, you don't praise Jesus. You don't go, you know, so he made up this, like, whole God of his own imagination, basically, and he had let me know, like, he knows God, God's spoken to him, God has given him orders, he's going to be one of the last men on earth, and he's going to rebuild civilization like a modern day Noah, and he was like, and all my kids are making it to heaven, that's what God's already told me that, I have a direct connection to God, and that was all part of his manipulation scheme. So I ran, when I was finally able to get up, I ran into my parents' room as fast as I could. And not my parents, my mom and my stepdad, but I ran into the room as fast as I could, and I'm like, Mommy, try to get inside of me. And my stepdad starts yelling, ain't nothing but God Almighty in this house, get out. And so I don't get out. I lay there for 10 minutes because I have no breath. I can't even move at this point. When I finally get up 10 minutes later, I feel like all energy and everything has left my body, my knees feel weak, and I just feel so horrible. And when I'm going back to my room in the hallway, my brother's standing there, and he says, Rima, are you okay? And he had never really shown too much empathy because of everything he had been through. Feelings had been beat out of him. He said, come to my room. And he starts praying and praying without ceasing. We weren't really familiarized with prayer, and he won't stop praying. And it gets to a point where he says, Rima, it's gone. I made it leave. And I was like, what did you just say? What did you just say? And he said, I didn't say anything. What are you talking about? And it was in it like a different voice. And in that moment, he said, Rima, there's an angel in this room. There's an angel in this room. And I just felt this like overwhelming sense of peace. Like I grabbed our Bible. And it went to the page, it was a prayer in Psalms about getting rid of evil. We read that together, and I was able to go back into my room, and everything felt good. Everything felt clear, and just that night was over, but things still continued to happen. I remember one night I was in bed, and there was like this big thing under my blanket, and it ran towards me, and then it disappeared. And there was just like a lot of those different things that started to happen. And then after this, I started getting deeper into the New Age. I would call on my spirit guides. I would talk to them for consultation or whatever I needed. I would, you know. Well, around this time too, my mom got way worse. And she would very, very badly started to abuse me. She would call me. I was called the B word, the F-U, all the time. I was yelled at, F-U. I wish that I had nothing to do with you. I'm going to go in that room right now and kill myself. That's what my mom would tell me. You know, you've hurt, you know, you've done so much, and you're such a bad child that I'm going to go kill myself. And I remember her telling my brother, I wish you were never born. And after she would say these things, she'd be like, and she'd be like, come on. And I would go to her room, and she would light up a big bong of smoke of weed, And she would give it to me to smoke it. And after I would smoke it, I would feel like my soul was leaving my body. I would feel, I would see things. I had never seen anything like that in, in my whole past. And I see purple demon. Yeah, totally not just weed. I'm pretty sure that was laced with some serious stuff. I started hallucinating and seeing all kinds of things. I would lay in bed at night, and I couldn't sleep. Because there's something like, I'd wake up the next morning, and my whole body would be aching and sore. I don't think that's marijuana use, just like recreational marijuana use. I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world, but I'm not saying that it's gonna do that to you. And so it gets so bad that there was even a time I didn't make all A's, and my mom choked me against the wall. And just a lot of psychological warfare as well, just like a lot going on. Well, we moved to another house, and I'll show you guys what that was.
Well, what's happening now? She's showing you on the video where the house and place was, where all this stuff was going on. My goodness, my goodness. But it have a great ending. It have a great ending. God is faithful. Yes, he is. And he is on our side.
Now, I wrote a book based on this house. This is Little House on Ansley. There's a lot that happened there, and this is the worst it ever was. All right, so I needed some time to recoup, so we're currently a few days later, and I'm going to get into the rest of the story with you guys. So, now, this time in my life, I started getting into the New Age. If you do not know what the New Age is a spirituality that is basically drawing upon forces in the universe and forces like drawing upon chakras and crystals and meditation and talking to your spirit guides and all of these different things. And I started to go like onto the roof, and I would try to lose myself. I would just lay there and I would just like try to, you know, astral project. At night I was trying to lucid dream. I was trying to do anything I could to escape reality. And sometimes I would do these kind of things, and then I would start to see things. I would start to like just hallucinate a little bit, because when you stare off too long, you start to hallucinate. And so I was just kind of doing everything that I could. And while I think that I'm drawing nearer to truth, I'm actually furthering myself into this very deep depression. I started to think more and more about the purpose of life, but I started getting like D's and F's, and I put like curtains and blankets all over my windows, and I just laid in the dark all day. I would purposely go in the bathroom every morning and like make myself throw up so I didn't have to go to school. So a lot of times I was skipping school. If I went to school, I'd just sit in my car because I was so depressed, like I couldn't go in. And I just remember, like, around this time, my mom would continually, you know, do these things to me that would hurt me, and then say, come on, and come to my room, and we would, you know, smoke together whatever was in that weed. But she also gave me antidepressants, and so, because I told her I was depressed, so she just, like, gave me some medication, and it wasn't prescribed to me or anything. I just started to do it. And that actually would just make me more numb, and it would make me not really feel anything. And at the time, I just realized that, like, it really wasn't working either. And so, you know, I had went to therapy in the past as well. It seemed like nothing was working. As hard as I would try, nothing was working. So my home life just continually got worse. My stepdad was on meth, and he was a crack dealer. There were homeless people living on our couch in our backyard. There were drug addicts living in our backyard, people doing cocaine on the couch. My stepbrother had moved in around this time as well, and he was doing drugs, and he was getting us into that kind of life that he was in as well. And so whatever he would do, I would kind of be with him while he did it. So, you know, whatever you can name, we were doing bad stuff. We would go around like setting things on fire and just doing things that, you know, kids that are misguided do. But we got into a point where, since my stepdad was on meth, a lot of crazy things happened that he would accuse us of. So one night he had tried to kill us that day, and it was because my mom cheated on him. And around that time, it's because he cheated on her. So she went in turn and cheated on him. And so he found out, and he chased after us with a gun, and he tried to kill us, like, several times. And my mom almost did leave him a few times, and she would always go back to him. And I just remember that one morning when he beat her with a gun around the same time where everything's just getting worse, you know. He beat her with a gun in the face, and she was all bloody. And all I hear is her calling my name. So I'm upstairs getting ready for school, and I just hear that faint scream, you know, with like a hand on her mouth, and she's crying out for me. And the moment like that brought me back to those moments in my childhood when she would call for me. It was almost like a flashback moment of like always being my mother's keeper, always taking care of her. And those moments will always haunt me the most, because if I were to tell on him at like to the police, I was afraid that my mom would get in trouble, and I was so afraid that she would be angry at me because she would hate me if I did this to her husband. So I was so lost, and I just had to sit up there helplessly and listen to her calling for me, and I didn't know what to do. And a lot of those different things happened where we would be in those certain situations where we would almost be getting murdered, and I just felt helpless. Like, I had nowhere to go. I had no one to talk to. You know, the warning signs were there for me, but, like, I didn't have anybody. And so I talked a lot about this in my book, everything that happened in that house, or everything that I can remember, because when you've been traumatized like that, a lot of things, like, I'm still remembering to this day, and a lot of things I simply cannot remember because they're just too traumatic. And so, because I would engage in a lot of depersonalization when these things would happen to me, I would literally detach myself from my body and not feel anything as a coping mechanism. And now I realize that that was okay that I did that. But I'm kind of just piecing back the story together in my book. So let's get to the good parts. And the good part is just absolutely incredible. And I think that we should take some time to talk about it. So one night I'm in my bedroom and I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm kind of like questioning life more than ever before. And I know that there's a God, and I kind of thought that my God was this God that allowed, you know, the New Age spirituality and the God of the universe. But, you know, something that night shifted in me. And something that night just made me cry out to God in a way I'd never done before. I was not crying out to a God that I had formed in my own mind. I started to cry out to whoever God is. And I was so sick of looking for truth, because every time I searched for truth, I would get deeper in a hole of depression. I mean, look at where I was, you know. None of my truths, none of my cures, none of my healing was working. Nothing I tried was working. So that night, I said out loud, Lord, whoever you are, God, I can't do this without you anymore. Whoever you are, God, I don't know who you are, but I want to know who you are. I cannot do this life without you any longer. And so that Bible that my stepdad gave me, I had it. This is it. I took it, and I'd never read it before, but I took it and I opened it up to Psalm 57. I'm going to read it out loud to you real quick. This is what I said. I was standing on the wall, and I said, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts. Men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul." I stopped there. I said, "Awake my soul. Awake my soul." And a force greater than any love or peace that transcends all understanding washed over me. It was the love of a father, the love of a parent, the love that I had never received. It was the unconditional love washed over me in a way I cannot describe. It put me on the wall in the cross formation. It put two truths into my heart. that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to take away my sins so that I may be forgiven and have eternal life. I'm telling you, in that moment, I fell to my knees and bowed down in utter reverence to a holy God. There were no time for questions. There was no time. I bawled my eyes out. I didn't even know that you could cry tears of joy, because I had never felt joy before. I had never felt a happy emotion like that. I had never felt unconditional love. And just, I bowed down and said thank you. And I felt the presence of God over me. I felt him in my room with me. I saw this bright white light over me. And I just saw it standing there. I didn't see who it was, but I knew the truth, finally. All those years of searching for healing, searching for the truth, and right there, it was in front of me the whole time. The love of a father that I never thought I had, my father was there with me walking through every fire, and I just didn't know it. It could have saved me so much pain and so much hurt and so much regret if I would have just known that. And it didn't make sense at the time, but now when I look back, and in that moment, life started to make sense. My purpose was revealed to me. I finally had love. I finally had somebody that actually really cared about me. And after that day, I was never the same person. Life turned from black and white to color. My depression was gone. And, you know, I still lived in that house for 2 years after that. I was 16 at the time. Until 18, I moved out and I went to college. And even in the moments that life didn't get better, I had somebody to walk through them with me, and I knew the truth. I knew the truth of who God is and what he's created me for. He's created for every breath that I take to praise him and cry out to him. And I went to college, and I didn't get involved into church until about 2 years after going to college, so I was around 19 or 20. And I got a prayer journal, and something told me on my heart to pray for my brother. Well, my brother actually turned into an atheist after this, and so God just put it on my heart to pray for him and pray for him and pray for him without ceasing, and that's what I did. So here's my prayer journal, and on November 16th, 2019, I wrote a prayer for God to please save him. That was the first time I ever truly, truly, truly prayed without ceasing, and I wrote this. That was my first journal entry. My last journal entry was March 26th, 2021. My brother, I got a call. And he got hit by a semi-truck on his motorcycle. And the doctor said, they went to go pick him up. The doctor said that if he didn't land exactly the way that he landed when he landed, he would be completely dead. And he came out without a broken bone. No internal bleeding, only just a road rash. And a few days after he came home from the hospital, he gave his life to Jesus with me in the living room. 2 years after I prayed. So my last journal entry was him. About him giving his life to Christ. And if there's one thing that I would say to younger me right now, I would tell her to hang on, hold on, don't lose hope. It might not make sense right now, and it might not be easy for you, but one day it's all going to make sense, and purpose will be made from your pain. The Lord will use it in mighty, mighty ways. Just trust and lean on him. He is the Father that you never had. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And he's created you right here for a purpose such as this. And if the Lord can save me, he can save anybody. My name is Rima Angelique. and this is my story. Getting
Hallelujah, Jesus. What a testimony, Rima. What a powerful testimony. And a lot more than what she told had gone on. But the demons, they came to destroy these children and their mother. They came to destroy the minds of the children. Yet God saw what was going on, and God delivered them out of it, even the brother. And sometimes women don't realize what they're doing. You have children, and you're hooking up with a man off of your own feelings, what you think you're going to get. You're not considering what can happen to your children, your children, your children. So as mothers, we have to be careful who we connect with. Yeah. Because, see, when the devil comes, he's not going to come as the devil. When demons come, they're not coming as demons. They're coming as sheep. They're coming as wolves in sheep clothing. Their job is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the devil thought he would destroy these children. But look what God did. After all the brother and Rima went through, God yet delivered them in the end, innocent. They didn't know. He teaching them, the stepdaddy teaching them all this crazy stuff because he's on drugs. The mama participating in the drugs with him. Yeah. And some mothers feel afraid and they don't know what to do to get out. But if you're doing drugs, you won't know what to do to get out. Because your addiction would call you back in. She said she tried to leave, and then she left, the mother left, but came back because that addiction. And if I be with him, I can get my drugs. If I'm with him, I can get my fix. Never considering the children. That devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. But we thank God this morning for his delivering power. He can deliver us. No matter what we've gone through, many have gone through some horrific things. But yet when they called on God, God come in and deliver and heal their hearts and minds. Because that's what we all need today. We need a healing. I know women jump out of one relationship into another. Men jump out of one relationship into another. He with a wife and he cheating. She with a husband and she cheating. You're just transferring them spirits. That's what you're doing. If your wife is saved, and she may have the Spirit of God living in her, but you've been out there doing whatever, and you done transferred all kind of mess back to her because every woman you laid with, you're married. The wife, she out there laying and doing everything and transferring them spirits back to her husband because everything she laid with, she married. And you just can't do that like that because you're not considering the other person. You're only considering yourself. Yes, ma'am, it was, Miss Sion. White trash was a sign not to deal with him. Because if he got the name trash, what you do with trash? What is trash? It's not a good thing. I took my trash out last night that the trash people can take it away from here. Trash stinks. It bring all kind of bugs and things. Trash. That was a clear sign. When I first heard that name, Sion, it let me know, it's about to go down because she done hooked up with white trash. She done hooked up with some trash around here. He could have been black trash, any kind of trash. It wouldn't have ended up good because trash is not a good thing. And we have to wake up and teach our daughters. You don't get with any and everything. And if you train that child up in the way that they should go, when they get old, they won't depart from it. Listen, I remember meeting a baby K for the first time. That baby K had more mouth than Sia. And I said, oh, my goodness, look at this one right here, Shante. Look at this one here. She come talking about the Lord. And look here. She come talking because she knew him for herself. She knew him for herself, the daughter. The mama sat back and the daddy sat back listening. Buddy came and got him a ring-sized seat. He didn't have much to say, but he was listening and paying attention. Let me see what this woman got coming in my house around my wife and family and daughter and mother-in-law and say, let me see what she's talking about. Oh, I hear what they say, but I got to cover my house. I got to make sure my family got what they need. There ain't no demons and foolishness coming in here to my family, and my family going to follow this. Oh, no, I'm right here. And when he heard with his spiritual ears, he got all right, and then he would laugh and call me the Jesus lady. But we got to watch as well as pray. Mothers, be careful. I know a lot of women want to be married, and they're willing to take anything off these men to be with a man. But you got God, believer, Christian. You have God. How is it you so needy of another human being when you got the author and finisher of your faith? When you got Almighty God who have all the power. How is it you need somebody else? You need a natural person who can't even treat you right. Won't treat you right. They don't care nothing about you. It's what you do for them that they are after. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. Let go. Please let them go. And let God come in and have his way in your life. You're going to get to see the love of God. You're going to get to learn what real love is. Because see, like this girl here, continued even through her college days and everything to seek God, and as an adult now to seek God. This girl wouldn't have known what love is. Without God, many of you won't know what love is. It's not the time to play, because you've never been shown from your childhood real genuine love. You was pushed into a situation. You was put into a situation. Sometimes the mom and dad divorced. Sometimes the mom and dad split up. Sometimes the dad laid with the woman, had a baby, and it was a baby. He went his way. She went her way. Later on, she had to leave somebody else, the aunt, the grandmama, the sister, the cousin. Somebody else raised them. But how many know there's no love like the love of God? I'm telling you the truth this morning. And when you got godly parents, you will know what love is. I'm here to tell you this morning. If you have godly parents, you're going to know what love is, baby Kate. Oh, yes, ma'am. You're going to know God for yourself. Many times the enemy will come in there, but God going to bring you right back where you should be, because he in you. And he knows the very intent of your heart. I thank God for them parents I had. And I used to say a minute that I'll be glad when I get grown. Now, you know I couldn't say it to them. I would have lost teeth way before I lost teeth, huh? But I used to say to them, I'll be glad when I get grown, get on my own. I can do it what I want to do. I can do it the way I want to do it. And when I got on my own and saw what it really was, I didn't want none of it. I'm wanting to go back to my parents now. I'm wanting to be a little girl again. I want to be in the house where I didn't pay no electric, no water, you know, no house note. I want to be in the house where the meals are cooked for me. I don't have to cook them. I want to be in the house where when my birthday comes, I'm the center of attention. Well, while I was a child, all I wanted to do is be a grown lady and do what I wanted to do. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to become a scientist. I'm going to buy me a Camaro. None of that transpired. God had a purpose and a plan for my life. And when I got older, I could not depart from it. I was in my early 30s when I come to him. I couldn't depart. Because these people had prayed for me and they had put me in a place with him where I couldn't come out. I had been taught the truth. So today you know what love is. I don't know too many people that have met Baby Kay and didn't fall in love with her. I don't know those people. Because she come humble. She come this way. She come knowing God. Good godly parents over there. The daddy give both legs and both arms for her. He just wanted to be happy, safe. Yeah, Pastor David. Yeah. But mothers, please today, watch over your children. Don't let yourself get in a position where it's all about you and what you want and what how he makes you feel. Because many times he's not making your children feel that way. You hear what I say? He's making you feel that way, and then there's some things he's doing against you. And you know he's doing you wrong, but yet you're going to stay with him and allow him to do your children wrong. No, ma'am, I got to go, me and mine. Me and my children got to go. Because I'm going to tell you something. Children watch things, and they're smart. They're not fools. And when a girl see what her mom allow herself to go through, it takes from the daughter. Many times she thinks this is the way it should be. When somebody comes along, God sends somebody along, no, that's not the way it should be. Something wrong with your mom. Boys, when they boys see their mom take so much off of a man, they don't have no real respect for her. I'm telling you now, deep inside, because they know this is not the way a woman let a man treat her. No way, no how. Especially if she can get on away from that, why would you stay? And your children watching you, knowing and watching what you go through. Oh, no, sir, and no, ma'am. I couldn't do it. I had to go. No, I can't let my boy see me weak. For a man? No, no, no. And I done taught them about God. They coming to ask me, but where's God for you, mama? You taking all this abusive stuff over here. Where's God for you? You say he's there for me. He going to be there for me, mama, and not there for you to give you the strength to get up out of here and learn to love yourself. Because, mama, you still taking all this abuse over here for no reason. I done growed up, and I know better, mama. I love you, but, mama, come on now. I can only handle so much. But it comes to the point where they don't care. They don't care for their children. They care more for who they're with, how this person makes them feel. And when I tell you them demons and they have a strong hold on, ooh, y'all don't understand this morning. It's a strong hold. Many times drugs is not involved. It's just the spirit of the devil that captured. And they talking God and they saying they want out of this, and but they just cannot let go. Because what they flesh feel, it's not the spirit of God, it's their flesh. Let me tell you how I know. If God is in charge and this is God's will, all I got to do is walk away. Put it on the altar, I promise you, and walk away. If it's God's will, I done got out of God's way, God going to come and put it together in the right way, and I'm going to be happy. But after so much abuse and after so much going through, I'm honest, y'all. I don't want it. Lord, you can fix it. I don't want it. I want more of you. I want to replace that with you. Because late in the midnight hour, he's going to be there. No matter what I go through, he got to fix it. I can't wake up in the morning unless he wake me up. Why would I exchange that for something that may or may not choose to stay with God? Because God won't come against your will. Whosoever will, let them come. And when you come, it's your choice to stay with God or to go back. I don't want to take that chance. I want to stay with God. I'm better off anyway. I'm better off with him. My chances is better. My life is better. Let me tell y'all something. When you're materialistic, you just can't rest at night unless you got it. I was a Chanel this, a Chanel that, offended this, offended that, Theon, and stuff others hadn't even heard of from other countries and all this stuff. And you think you impressing people. You think you showing off when to God you're looking like a fool because that's what you are. I'm allowing you to do all this crazy because I have an appointed day. I'm going to draw you to me. You think you're chasing after the American dream. You're a fool. I'm just honest with you this morning. You're a fool. It pays best to chase after God, and you don't have to chase it. Open your mouth and ask. I heard her praying, asking God. I didn't hear her chasing God. But we got to do better for our family, for our children. I couldn't imagine my dad being alive and he see me going through abuse. I couldn't imagine that. And my mom, I couldn't imagine talking to my mom and telling her he's doing this to me. I couldn't imagine that. Because I know they would tell my brother, their youngest nut. I know they would tell him. And ain't nobody stopping him. Ain't nobody stopping him. He would have bloody hands by now. I'm telling you the truth. Because of what he was a part of at one time. He couldn't have took that. Even to this day, I know he loved me. Crazy as a bed bug, I tell you. But he loved his sister. Yeah. And I love my brother. Both my brothers. Yeah. But we don't understand what people see and what we take our families through when we keep staying in these abusive relationships and in relationships where it's one-sided. I love you, but you don't love me. You're doing just enough to make me think you care for me and you got some feelings for me. But as I keep going, 5 hours and you acting as if you love me and care for me, in the 6th hour, it come out of you that you don't. You're right back to the abusing me. You're right back to doing me wrong. And pretending that you don't know that you've done these things to me and doing these things to me. Ladies, wake up. And stop giving these men your money. Stop it. Sister Jerry and I was talking last night. Jerry said, well, Barbara, maybe I'm crazy. I said, well, Jerry, maybe I'm crazy with you. So that's not the way it goes. And respect is due to a rat, I'm going to say. You run up on a rat den, get on up out his den. What you doing over there fooling around in his spot? They say respect is due to a dog. You give respect, you're supposed to receive it. But many times the relationship is over with, but you got something they want, and so they keep pretending that they love you. They keep pretending that they want you to get out of you what they want. And they going on out in the world doing their thing. You don't even matter. It doesn't matter to them if you find out what they're doing against you. It don't matter. Because they already see, no matter what I do, he going to stay. No matter what I do, she going to stay. So what? I'm doing what I feel I want to do. I don't really got no love for them. I'm trying to find me somebody I can love. And they're not going to find nobody they can love because they don't love themselves. They are messed up. And they need a healing. And the only way they're going to heal is when they come to God. Now, if you stand before they come to God, you're going to get what you get. And you say you the believer. You say you the Christian. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine allowing some man to treat me crazy, and I'm going to Shante telling her about it. I couldn't imagine that. And I know my youngest son, it would just be ignorant. And our second oldest one, they have bloody hands. I already know. Ain't nothing I could do to control them, to stop them. You doing my mama what? I can hear ALCR saying this. Man, you got life in a bubblegum. You got life in a ditch. You think you're going to do my... See, and now you done brought your children in on something they shouldn't be in on. Might end up in prison. Your child might end up dead. You might end up dead. Wake up, ladies. Wake up, men. Wake up. Wake up. God is here for us. If you have God, he's more than the whole world against you. Did you hear that? He's more than the whole world against you. You know how big the world is? Come out. Pray your way through. And don't tell God how to do it. Put it on the altar and walk away. I know people stay in relationships and keep a roof over their head. Honey, I'd rather be in a homeless shelter. Do y'all hear me? People stay together because he got a car and I can use the car. Honey, I'd rather catch a street bus. And my children, I know you're doing my children wrong. I'm not going to be able to stomach that. Now that I know. Now, if I don't know, that's a horse of a different color. But I'm wide open seeing how you're doing mine. No, sir. Even if you're the biological dad, I ain't going to be able to stand it. Mm-mm. God made me, and he know who I am, how I am, and what I am. He already know. And Shantae have told me a many days, see, I can't tell you nothing, mama. The person is, I said, look here, don't tell me nothing. I don't like them, and I mean that. I don't like that spirit that's in them. Sweet and kind as you are, they're going to come against you, and you think you can explain that to me? Explain that to somebody else, Shantae. You can't explain that to me. I don't like that. I can't tell you. No, you can't tell me about certain things, baby Kate, because it's going to get on my nerve. It might make me sin. Now get yourself together and come on out, because, see, I can't take but so much now. God knows the very intent of my heart. And many parents are like that. You're not going to do my children now. And I'm the kind of parent you're not going to do me. How about that? Oh, glory to his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, an abusive child, what have we done to the children to make them become crazy? To be against me as the parent? What have I really done to mess up my relationship with them? Did I really train them? Because I've done some things. I left my children, went to prison. They found out about the dirt I was doing. They found out I was kiting. They grown now. But because of the prayers, because I fully gave my life to God and I waited on him, I couldn't force the relationship. I could. But right now, I can go to either one of them and say, look, I need this, I need that. That youngest boy just look at me, okay, mama. I said, I need my light bulbs changed. I need you to come and put the tarp back on the pool. I need you to scrub it or not. Well, mama, I'm off on Thursday. I'll come over there then. It could be where they tell me, no, you wasn't there for me. I can't be there for you. You done did some dirt, mama. You out here taking people money. You taught us not to steal, but mama, you out here stealing. It's Almighty God, listen, that have all power. When you change, he can change your life. Do you hear me? You have not, if you have not killed yourself, you have not done something so dirty that God won't forgive you and make your life over. But you got to be willing to come out. You got to be willing to want to do what's right. You got to be willing to stand up for God. You got to be willing to love him and live right before him. Not man, but him. In other words, like the streets say, you got to make sure your relationship is tight with him. You fix any situation. A lot of women don't like R.C. Blake because of where they are in a relationship. They can't stomach that. They can't hear about that because that's where they are or that's where they've been. They just can't hear it. I can hear it all. Because if you truly listen to him, you're going to get somewhere and be a good mother. And sometimes, see, the church stopped doing all of this. It used to be that the mothers of the church could help the young women. It's like this generation of people are so weak. They can't hear the truth. They fall apart when they hear the truth. So the church brings watered down, weak messages to keep them in that place. See, I'm not the one to give you nothing weak. I tell you to stand up. God is there for you. But you got to want it. You got to want to be strong in him. You got to want to do what's right. I can't feed you a milk and it's time for you to eat meat. You old enough to eat meat and I still got you on some milk. I still got you on a pamper when you should be on a pull-up. What kind of foolishness? Either you're for God or you're against him. Ain't no in-between. Nothing is in-between with God. Either you up or down, over or under, yeah, with God. He even told you, he will have you lukewarm. Either you got to be hot or cold. Because if you think you're going to be lukewarm with God, he'll spew you out his mouth. Because he's not a trickster. He don't come to trick you. He don't come to bamboozle you. He come to give you the truth, the facts of life, what you can live by and have a good life in him. I ain't saying you're going to have a good life with the world. And you should already done cut the world loose if you received him. But many think they can receive him and have the world too. It won't fly. It won't work. Either you have to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. That's what his word said. And I can't put all of these cotton balls and soft pillows down for you to fall on. Because either you're going to be for God or you're going to be against him. And that's why when he speak to many, they go to somebody else because of what I said. They can't take it. That ain't what they wanted to hear. So I need three or four people to go to until I hear what I want to hear. Now, once I hear what I want to hear, I can cut the other ones loose because this one over here give me all I want to hear. Because I can't put cotton balls or soft pillows down for you to fall on. Either you're for God again or you're against it. Either you're going to obey him or you're not. And God have patience. So he give us patience to wait. But when he see you just not going to do it, he's going to remove all that hedge from around you. And you're going to fall where you fall now. I'm just telling you the truth. Demons come. And they come but to kill, steal, and destroy. Be careful who you let in your house. Be careful who you let in your life. Be careful who you deal with today. You don't want to deal with any and everybody because everybody is not of God. He said in his word, he said it. Listen, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I heal the sick. I cast out demons. I raised the dead. Guess what he got to tell them? Depart from me. I don't even know you. You worker of iniquity. I don't know you. So if he got to do it, how much more we got to do it? You can't trust nothing in 2021. Nothing but God. That's who you better be trusting. Because if you're trusting anything else, you're bringing demons in. You're dealing with demons, you hear me? Folk won't let their flesh go. They can't do it. I'd rather have the flesh than Jesus. Now, the light doesn't come and shine in darkness, and darkness comprehending it. Now, it don't want God. It want its flesh to be pleased and making all kind of excuses because of what it want. The flesh won't. Louis, where that scripture that you told me about that the flesh was deceiving? Where that's at, Louis? I need to write that down. Yeah. Because the flesh is a deceiver. But we're going to keep on pleasing it. Because you don't understand. I love her. And I've been with her a long time. And she got my children. And she a demon, baby. And she come to kill, steal, and destroy you. The one where it talks about the flesh being a deceiver. Remember you gave me the scripture where the flesh is a deceiver. Flesh deceives us. And as soon as that flesh get a little weak and go to thinking negative, the enemy come in and begin to talk to your flesh, and you'll see it his way. When you're knowing anything, you're doing things that's against God. God say move, you can't even hear him. You got to go get some a second opinion, a third opinion. Anywhere where you think you hearing a word, you running over there. And that devil tricking you every time. My goodness, I'm dying. Yeah, we got to stay with God. You hear what I say? Through the storm, through the rain, I don't care what you're going through, stay with God. Our trials come to make us strong. But sometimes it's not a trial, it's the demon that come in to destroy us. But we want to see it as a trial because we want what we want. Oh, loose that flesh this morning and let it go. Get in Jesus and let him get in you for real. Get in the word today and let the word get in you. And tell yourself, for God, I'm going to live, or for God, I'm going to die. Because anything else, it come to destroy me. And I refuse. I got a charge to keep and a God to glorify. I got work to do unto the Lord. Look what he did for us. Look what he has done for us. He gave his only begotten son. He gave the one and only to suffer and die for us. And it's like we slap him in the face and say, I don't care about that. So what? Give me what I want. I ain't remembering no Jesus died for nobody. I'm remembering I want this or I want that. I want the house on the hill with the dog named Fred, without even moving our lips. Because see, God is an action God. And he hear what we say, but he's looking at what we're doing. And if what we're doing and what we say don't line up together, it's a lie. It's not the truth. And you're not going to fool God. I'm just here to tell you. I look at Rima. And Rima has come a long ways. Oh, boy, the brothers say, come on, Rima, come on, come on. Let me show you this. And then later he becomes an atheist. Rima, come back and let that devil know you're not going to have my brother. And God heard her, opened a door, and she led her brother to the Lord. So today he's no longer an atheist. He went through the storm and lots of rain. Do you hear me? She didn't tell it all, because like she said, she'd have told it all. We'd have been here all day and all night. It's okay, Brother Louis. It's okay. I'll find it later on. But God is faithful. Yeah. And he don't brought Mike. That devil don't play. We as Christians and so-called believers, we play games, but that devil don't play. And he on his job 24/7. 7 days a week, 30 to 31 days a month, 365 days a year. Year after year after year, he don't ever give up and he never stops. We have to put a stop to him. God gave us power, love, and a sound mind. We can put a stop to that devil anytime we get ready. If we can turn our flesh loose, we got to turn it loose. If God said he was going to do something, why don't you back up and let him do it? He don't need your help. Yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. It's already all right. Because whatever you choose, that's your choice. Yeah. But I thank God this morning. He's a way maker. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's more than we need today. He said, come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Is that what he said, Louis, somewhere around in there? Listen, y'all. Brother Marquez sent me a picture. He got a little boy, and I love that little boy. Like I love Mr. Mason. And he sent me a picture of the show Marquee and him and the son sitting behind it. He's sitting behind the show Marquise holding the baby. I said to myself, oh, wow, how did he do this? I want to talk to him. Yeah, I don't know how he did it, but it's a beautiful thing in my book. And I thank God for it. Thank God for those that's praying for me, Brother Perry and different ones. So Sister Jerry. I know they're praying for me, and I thank God for every prayer this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful and so thankful. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Anthony. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will. I will. Give me a few minutes, and I'll go in there and find that. It's over on YouTube, and it starts off saying, wait a minute, Brother Anthony. Demons are real. Her name is Rima Angelique. I mess her name up every time, and I'm learning Spanish. I should be ashamed. But it starts over there, but I'm going and get it. Let me go to the next song of the morning, and I will send that link to you. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to this one right here. It's an old one, and many of us, we love this one. And Sister Rita requested it, and I'm so glad she did, because I love Isaac Kyrie, and I'm praying for him, too. Hallelujah. God is faithful.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh yeah, I'm a music major.
Tears rolling down your face. With your heart feeling like it's gonna break. When your earth feels like it's about to shake.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Isaac. Kyrie this morning, act nice. And the name of that one is In the Middle. And thank God for good gospel music. Thank God that his word hold true and that many times music can set us free. Music can give us deliverance. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God, again, for good gospel music, because I'm telling you, many days I have heard songs that bless me, that come up in my faith, that come up in my trust in God. And so I'm thankful unto him. I know y'all heard this binging and then binging and then binging. It was going off while Rima was talking. Because many, oh my goodness, many say, oh, no way, Jose, no way, no way. My goodness, what did they do to these children? Why would they do these children? Uh-huh. And talking back and forth to me about it. And many said, I feel so bad for the brother. Yeah, oh, but I told them it's a good ending. God delivered them out of it all. Hallelujah. And they both became men and women of God. And that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Bro, Anthony, you should have it. I sent it over to you in Messenger on Facebook, so you should have it over there. And listen, the studio is open. Oh, we got 10 minutes. But listen, 10 good minutes, and we have longer if we need it. So if anyone has something they would like to say, a testimony or whatever, feel free to press that number one and come in today. You still have time. As much time as you need, you yet have it. So if you press that number one, I'll see your light come on in the studio, and we'll go from there. All right. God bless you, Brother Anthony. God bless you. I see you got it. Good morning, Sister Jerry. God bless you this morning.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you?
I'm blessed, Sister Jerry.
You know, I'm more than blessed. That, today? Yes, I'm blessed. It's time to take off the dark clothing and the dark house, and let's get started. Let's get started on what God allowed. If God allowed it, girl, you doing good today. As one would say, you turning it up today. You turned it up today, Barbara. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. No one really knows what people are going through. Because you have a way of masking it and hiding it. But thank you, Jesus. I think the whole world have gone through something. But the way that lady was expressing her story, it reminds me of a lot of things I went through in life. I got on my yellow dress you bought me, Barbara. Got my hair done. I'm a sport model today. I'm not on Hooker Lane, but I'm on Jesus Lane. Me and Jesus, we got it going on. I'm getting ready to get up and pull them decorations out the closet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. I can't do anything about the dead. Like Jesus said, what do you search you among the dead? It's time to live. If I supposed to been dead, I'd be dead. So it's time to thank God. Not spit in his face because, hey, this has happened to me. No, get up. Pick your bed up and walk away. Let's go, let's go, let's go. We used to sing this song, Ring Around the Roses. Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember nothing like that. And they all fall down. We're not going to fall down. We're getting up. This ring around the roses, they all raise up. And they're raising up for Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Simone said yesterday, what is Christmas to you? Even the poor people can have a Christmas because they can make their own little piece of Christmas tree on a card and sit them around in their house. Mm-hmm. What is Christmas to you? It is joy, peace, love. Because remember, that same person that was born died for you. Don't. Out of all the holidays, Jerry, you get up. I don't care what has happened. This one died, that one died, whatever. Get up. Because Jesus died so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So in the middle of what I'm going through, it's not about me. Let's celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday. Hallelujah. Because when my birthday come around, I want everybody to know this is a holiday. So Jesus Christ's birthday should be more important than yours. Barbara, I hate to say this, but I'm going to order me a lemon cake today.
Oh, go on, Sister Jerry.
I'm going to order me a lemon cake. I'm going to order Calvin his pears and some peaches. We're going to celebrate. From now until Christmas, it's celebration time. We having a great time over here on Red Robin Drive.
All right.
I'm going to open up the windows, not the windows, the curtains. I'm going to let light in.
Yeah.
As Jesus Christ said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
And there was light. I am going to let the light in because my situation not as bad as somebody else's. Someone woke up with no eyesight.
Come on.
I can see. Someone woke up with no legs. I got legs. They just don't work the way I want them to work. Somebody woke up and they don't know who they are or where they're at. But I woke up knowing my name. Jesus woke me up knowing who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody woke up and their spouse was laying dead next to them.
Mm.
I haven't suffered that. Only thing I have suffered was a little bit of mix up in the family, but Jesus bought me through that. So he bought me through murder. He bought me through disappointment. He bought me through death. He bought me through financial difficulties. He fought me through when there was a foreclosure note on my door to turn around with the deeds in my hand. So no matter what I don't get, I must remember what I've already gotten.
Mm-hmm.
My God is awesome. And he takes very good care of me. In the middle of what I don't have, I'm very grateful that if all I got is a slice of bread and rub some butter on it, I just had a great meal. Because Jesus only had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, but everybody ate and had leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God, not for what I don't have, not because he's financially blessing me. I thank God that he's teaching me patience to wait. In the middle of what I see going on around me.
Hallelujah.
If they say no to what I want, know this, Jesus got a sweet way of saying yes.
Hallelujah.
So if the no is being said, no, it's because Jesus is saying it's not time for you to do this yet. It's not time for you to have this yet. Look at what you got now, Jared. Rearrange your house this way. And then when I see you ready, for this over here, I'll give it to you myself. So that's my Friday testimony in the middle of it.
Amen.
In the middle of it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is there anyone else this morning, Brother Anthony? We got time. We got time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. And that's what he's looking for, those who can stand up. We may have been down and kicked or whatever. It's time to stay up, to get up. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Brother Lewis, God bless your weekend. I bless your weekend.
Oh,
And we pray the Lord.
Good morning, Brother Louie. Good morning, Sister Sherry. I'm going to try the roll call. It might get all mixed up. Good morning, Brother Frank. Good morning, Sister Sion. Good morning, Sister Simone. Love you, darling. Good morning, Sister Rita. Annalie Foote, I might be getting that all mixed up, but I get my children's name mixed up. Good morning, Brother Anthony, Brother Jermaine, and I think that's about all I can go. I'm done.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thank God this morning. So anybody else? It's open. It's open to you.
And yeah. You can't do nothing but just say, Lord, I love you today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You brought me through the storm and you brought me through the rain.
Yes, Lord.
I don't take for granted him waking me up. Bobby, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When that girl told about that motorcycle and the semi, oh, Lord. You know, before my husband died, he kept saying he was an atheist. He was an atheist. But on his dying bed,
what he said,
he said to all of us, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
On his dying bed. I was afraid to ask him, Robert, do you accept the Lord? Because I didn't want him to admit that he was an atheist on his dying bed. But he looked at us all and he said, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I know he saved.
Amen.
I know he went on. When he went on, Jesus allowed him to come in. Because the man that was hanging on the cross on his dying bed, Father God, remember me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Well, look
what an awesome God.
Yes. I'm going to bring Brother Anthony in right quick.
Ooh, good morning, Brother Anthony. Yes.
God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Barbara. Bless, highly favored. Good morning to everybody this morning. First of all, I want to give God thanks for life having strength, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day. Thank you for the activity in my limbs. Thank you for who he is to me, in me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. I just thank God for the show and coming together for fellowship. Thank God for all the word that comes forth every morning, you know, for edifying our body or spiritual food. And I just give God all the glory and say good morning to you again, Miss Barbara, Sister Jerry. Good morning to you, Brother Louis, Brother Frank, Sister Simone, Sister Rita, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Dot. Good morning to you, Sister Angela Leafoot, Mother Anna Leafoot. Good morning to you this morning. Say good morning to Sister Fion, if I ain't forget your name. Good morning to you, Sister Chate. Good morning to you. Good morning to Sister Sherry. I be forgetting her, Brother Louis' wife. Good morning to you. Say good morning to Sister Alexis. Say good morning to Apostle Bowright. Good morning to you. Good morning to Sister Kim Hawks, Brother Mike Hawks, Brother D, Brother Jermaine, Brother Perry, good morning to you. Brother Griffin, good morning to you. Good morning to, that's all I can think of this morning, but I just thank God for y'all tuning in and just thank God for another day to be able to come together and fellowship. And we just give God all the glory and the praise, and God just continue to keep me lifted up in prayer. I keep y'all lifted up in prayer, and you know, just continue to keep our mind on God and trust in Him in all our ways. And we just pray blessed weekend for everybody, and that we come back together again Monday morning. Amen.
Amen. Well, Well, Sister Rita said, good morning to you, Sister Jerry and Brother Anthony. And she said, a good job you did, Sister Jerry. She said, you go, girl. Yes, Lord. So we thank God this morning. And y'all know Jerry had me laughing. I just got to be honest. Jerry had me rolling over here. And I thank God for her. And I thank God for her honesty. Jerry is just who Jerry is. It just the Jerry just come out. And so we thank God. Sister Sion said, good morning to all. And wait a minute, y'all bear with me here. She said, good morning to all and have a great weekend. And wait a minute, let me see what Sister Dot said. Sister Dot said, good morning, blessings. Okay, and she said to tell everybody good morning and God bless you. Yeah, I get a lot of this, but I can't read every one all the time. But we got Pastor Benjamin with us from Africa this morning, and he tuned in to listen, and he said, so sad, so sad. But we thank God for each and every caller and each and every listener today, those that are coming through the archives and the podcast. God bless you this day. And I thank God for you. Thank God for you tuning in. It's always a pleasure. And have a blessed weekend. We're going to go to a short song of the morning. And after this song, we won't be coming back. So let's pray out right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for all that has been said and done today. Thank you, Lord, for your memories, and thank you for your word. For Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, oh God, the word is settled in heaven. And we ask today, God, that you would lead and guide us this weekend in the right path for your name's sake. We ask this morning that you would strengthen us as your will being done in our lives. Help us to let our flesh go so that the spirit can live and we can obey your spirit, oh God. In the name of Jesus, bless every caller and every listener with hard desires this weekend, according to your will, Father. In the name of Jesus, bless our going out, bless our coming in, and meet the need in our lives today, oh God, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So at this time, I'm going to a quick little bit of the song, and then I won't be coming back until Monday morning. I got a surprise for you Monday morning. God bless you.
Covering, I'm gonna wear your robe, I'm gonna wear your righteous mane everywhere I go. You're gonna light my candle, son, you're gonna make it shine, you're gonna lead me to the throne. I am a working man, I get things done, work for the Holy Ghost, work for the Son. I am a working man, oh yes I am a special agent of the Lamb. City child, I was born in the north, I was born in the autumn time, Lord only knows what for. I was born when leaves turn red, born when things are dying, but I was born with a big old mouth. I am a working man, I get things done, work for the Holy Ghost, work for the Son. I am a working man, oh yes I am a special agent of the Lamb. I am a
I am a working woman.